Hey guys, it's your favorite hosts, Marco
and Tony,
and we are so excited to announce our new partnership with Super Gay Underwear.
Super Gay Underwear is an underwear company meant for everybody else because they believe that beauty comes from discovering who we are and being proud about it.
By offering a variety of high-quality yet affordable underwear, clothing, and accessories, Super Gay Underwear proves that all people and all bodies can be sexy.
If you have a unique style or personality, then head to supergayunderwear.com and use promo code Critelli at checkout for 10% off your Super Gay purchase today.
That's promo code Critelli at checkout once you find your new favorite Super Gay pajamas, underwear, swim shorts, hats, or shirts.
Super Gay Underwear wants to remind you that it's not about conforming or hiding your identity. It's about celebrating your unique personality.
And that's why we love them.
Go to supergayunderwear.com and don't forget to use promo code Critelli at checkout.
And now, let's get to the show.
This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values.
With your hosts, the Critellis. I'm Marco.
And I'm Tony.
Happy Wednesday there, varmint.
Happy Wednesday.
How's it going?
I mean, not great.
Why is that?
Because you're not actually here.
Oh, I know. Yeah. So it's not really a secret. I think you guys.
Everybody knows.
Knows this. All podcasts to some capacity. Yeah. So this is a teeny bit re-recorded as this is launching. I am actually in Nashville right now. So I'm talking to you from the future.
And I'm a wreck.
And Tony is an emotional wreck. I'm literally only going to be gone for like 4 or 5 nights.
Yeah. That's 3 too many.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a quick trip. I'm in Nashville for work. I'm out here, like, I'm literally talking like it's happening. I'm in Nashville for work while I'm doing Memphis and then Nashville, so it's kind of cool. Tennessee, you've been great.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I couldn't go with you. That would have been a fun trip.
It kind of would have been cool, especially since I plan on retiring in Nashville. It's like my goal in life. I love Nashville. I think it's really fun.
Yeah.
You've never been to Nashville.
I did a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely need to go back.
It's been some years for me. I was barely an adult. Yeah, it's been some years for me since my last trip, but I had always decided that this was a really cool place to be.
This? I like it. As in you're there now?
Yes.
Again?
Nashville. Absolutely. How's everything else going other than your lack of mental stability?
Well, when you come back, I'll be better.
Yeah. Everything's good over here.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I'm just so ready for summer. I'm like, the more that the days continue, the more I'm like looking forward to like hot weather.
Yes, I need the pool and I need the parks.
I just need warmth. Like, I just want warm weather. This New York spring has been a teeny bit of a bitch.
Yeah, rainy, cold, windy, not really great.
And inconsistent is what the problem is. Like, we had like a really cool 72 degree day and that was like fun and we were outside and enjoying life and things were really cool. And then the next day it was like 58 and rainy. And then the day after that it was like 64 and windy. And it's just all over the place.
Temperamental.
And it doesn't help. I mean, it just ends up making us sick. You were sick. You had a headache recently.
Which I never have.
How did you handle your headache?
I don't know. How did I? You had to live with it.
Not very well at all. It's so funny. Tony, you're not a good pain person. You don't do very well with pain.
It's true.
And so Tony got a headache and you would have literally thought somebody shot him. Because you were just not okay. Not at all. It was funny because I have headaches on a consistent basis. I should probably get that checked out. But I consistently have headaches. I have a headache as we're recording. And you're like, how do you manage this every day? I have a whole new respect for you. And I was like, welcome to real life.
It's just, it's one of those things, like there's no escaping it. There's no getting around it. And you hope to treat it, but let's be honest, like those treatments don't really work all that well, the over-the-counter stuff. And so it's, you know, it's not like I did anything to come by it, honestly, right? You know, and so it's like, there's just, it takes control over you and you just have to deal with it. And
sleep.
Well, and my whole thing is like, I don't care if my body aches. I care if you mess with my head. Like, that always gets me, because that's, like, my entire perception of reality. Like, my foot hurting is just my foot, but my head, that's, like, everything. I can't, no, it's sleep. Not for me.
Whenever you have a headache, the best thing to do is just sleep. It's the only way to cure it, actually. Mm. And that's why I'm always like, I just want to go to bed, because my head hurts, and I know when I wake up, I'll feel better. So, with that being said, let's hop into our hashtag gay relationship goals for the week.
Why, you don't want to stay on this exhilarating topic?
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't a really sexy transition, but I think that it worked, right?
Sure.
As a reminder, every week, Tony and I will pick a wonderful queer couple and highlight them as our hashtag gay relationship goals. Our hope is to bring these relationships to the forefront and give a sense of positivity and perspective to the gay relationship narrative. If you and your partner are interested in becoming our hashtag gay relationship goals, or if there is a queer relationship that you admire and would like to bring to our attention, please reach out to us. Tag us on some of these adorable couples photos and on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Our handle is @podrelationship. Tony and I will take a look at these photos and posts and could potentially highlight you and your partner on an episode of the podcast. This week, we're so excited. This couple is actually taking us down to ATL, which I'm really excited about. You can find them on Instagram. They are @OurBoyStory, and this is Alex and Ricky. I'm so excited. It's an Alabamian, is that what you would call them, and a Mississippian?
Well, you want to say it right, Alabamian.
Alabamian and Mississippian. They are living in Atlanta right now, but they're so adorable. They're husbands. They are. They recently got married, not too long ago.
2017.
Yeah, and they are, I fell in love with them instantly. First of all, I love chocolate love.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's always great. And then on top of that, I've never seen a couple that is just so drawn to one another the way I've seen them to each other. Like, it's literally as almost as if, like, there's like an imaginary tether that is connecting the two of them, and I think it's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I instantly fell in love with them. I just thought that they were beautiful, like, just beautiful together, and I just love them. They even went to Beachella. They got to see Beyonce.
I know. I knew you would go glom onto that.
Yeah, which, you know, instantly made me like them even more. But
they honeymooned in Paris. I'm sure you like that,
which,
too.
You know, again, I just feel like we should be friends. Next time we have to go visit my mom and dad, we should definitely try to connect with them.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I like them. What did you think about them?
I think they're wonderful. I really like, you know, the thing that always gets me about couples is that, like, totally human, natural aspect. Like, so often, especially on Instagram and other social media platforms, like, it's like contrived and fake and filtered and, you know, all that. And this is like the two of them sitting on the floor with a cup of coffee. This is the two of them kissing at Disney. This is the proposal in the canals of Venice. You know, this is, you know, like, the fun clothes that they're wearing. This is the backyard barbecue. Like, you can just tell, like, it's like, they're your friends. Like, and that's what makes it so great, is that they are these two beautiful, wonderful humans who are so in love with each other. And I literally just want, like, so many of the pictures, I'm like, I wish I was the one taking that picture, so that when the picture was taken, I could have a conversation with you.
Yeah, because you can, like, capture the moment and just be a part of all that magic, right?
It
just
seems they're so cool. Beautiful.
There was this adorable post that was posted on March 13th, which is my brother's birthday. Happy belated birthday, Troy. I don't know. Oh, and it looks like it's Alex's birthday as well. Pisces, wow. And it says, I want to remind you how special you are to me. I may not say it enough, but I love you, and you mean the world to me. I may not show it a lot, but I adore you, and you are the best. And you are the beat to my heart. I'm sorry, I don't know why I did not read that very well, but it says, and you are the beat to my heart. Happy birthday, Alex. So I just thought that was super sweet. I just love, you know, I'm a sucker for a declaration of love on social media, because if it doesn't happen on social media, it didn't happen.
Oh, geez.
I'm being funny. but yeah, no, I just thought that was really, really sweet. And I thought that they were cute. I really like them.
They are beautiful. I love, there's one I want to read too, because it's so poignant, but it's find a soul that doesn't lose appreciation for you once they're used to you. And I just, and the picture with that caption is wonderful too. They are just so in love.
I love them.
It's great.
I love them. I'm a huge fan, and I know you all will love them as well. So please follow them on Instagram. They are @OurBoyStory. And again, you can follow them on Instagram. And then they also have a YouTube channel, so you can follow them on YouTube as well. They're great. So Follow them, like them, you know, fall in love with them the way that we did, and then make sure you tell them that the Catelli sent you. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back in just a bit. Hello, listeners. As you may have heard, Tony and I have a weekly after show on IGTV called Relationship.
Get it? Relationship? Relationship? What?
Nothing. Keep going.
Okay. Every week, Marco and I will talk about the podcast topic, the things we learned, and the way to use it in our relationship day to day.
Yep. Our goal is to put a face to the topics and our message, as well as give you some extra relationship content and guidance.
So make sure you're following us on Instagram. We are at PodRelationship.
And tune in every Wednesday.
After you've listened to the episode.
Yes, on IGTV for our weekly after show, Relationship.
Comment, like it, tell your friends.
All support is greatly appreciated.
We look forward to having you see us there.
Bye. So I'm going to attempt to talk about this topic without getting enraged, or by calling anybody out
by name.
This is going to be a really, really difficult topic, but I think it's something that needs to be talked about. There is a social media personality that took an interview with Candace Owens. I'm going to call her out by name. It's fine. Everyone knows who she is. Took an interview with Candace Owens, and in true just gutter evil nature, Candace Owens decided to ask this interviewee whether he found it harder to come out as gay or come out as a conservative, which is just a dumb question within itself. It's just a dumb question within itself because I just...
It's a very smart question if you had an agenda, but go on.
Yeah, it's so... They're literally not even remotely on the same plane. This interviewee, who, you know, clearly is a gay man.
Of color.
Proceeded to answer the question by saying that he has found that he had a harder time coming out as a conservative than he did as a gay person, that he did not experience any friends or family not accepting him because of his, you know, gay orientation. Or, you know, he doesn't have people harassing him for you know, being a gay man, that he doesn't have that. But the second that he comes out as a conservative, that he has people harass him consistently, saying that they think that the only reason why he's doing it is, you know, to push some sort of agenda, or that he's like playing into, you know, a role that he thinks he has to, et cetera, that he gets more harassed for being a conservative than he does as a gay person. And I took offense to this, clearly, because, you know, as a person of color, I felt like the message within itself was just not, was just not fair. I just thought it wasn't good. I thought it wasn't, I don't know. He has so many followers that, you know, I know me as if I were like a young black gay person and I saw him as a person, like I would look up to him, and to know that he totally doesn't see me or the gay experience for anybody else other than himself would just be heartbreaking. And so I commented and shared with him that, like, you know, I'm such a fan of his, and you know, I appreciate him telling his truth, and I think that that's great, but that he needs to be really, really careful about the message that he's sending, because, you know, while that may not be his experience, and I completely understand it, conservatives are not killing themselves because they want to hide the fact that they are conservative people to the rest of the world. Conservatives are not being bullied to the extent that homosexuals are. And that brought on an onslaught of a ton of crazy people deciding to comment and tell me how dumb I am for even believing that, and that, you know, that it was all fake news, et cetera, et cetera. All to which, you know, I had time for, and so I completely commented back to every single person. And then the interviewee, the guy that said all of this, decided to comment at one time and try to say, you know, that I had fake rage and all of this other stuff like that. And I was like, sir, this is not fake rage. These are true scenarios on a daily basis that you can look up at any given time. There are no stories written about conservative people killing themselves for being conservative. Not one. There is not one story that I was able to find about it. The only thing I was able to find is that conservatives are killing themselves at a faster rate, and it has nothing to do with their political standing. It has everything to do with the stresses that they undertake regarding their businesses, and a lot of the time their religions, and the fact that they are, like, angry and raising their blood pressure over topics that are not necessarily things that they're supposed to care about or have anything to do with them.
Okay.
But that's a side story. And, you know, so I had to, you know, probably tell him, like, this is not fake rage, and I'm not faux angry about any of this stuff. These are real things, and you're towing a very, very dangerous line by putting these messages in other people's minds, because you're now creating a narrative in which people realistically will end up believing that, you know, gay child suicide is not real, and that trans black women are dying at an alarming rate, or that gay and lesbian men and women are, and, you know, other non-binary people are walking through life and getting fired from their jobs for, you know, for discrimination and things like that because of their sexual orientation. And this is just not okay. It's just not okay. So, you know, again, this is a very, very, very heavy episode, but you know, just recently, a 14-year-old boy by the name of Nigel Shelby killed himself in Huntsville, Alabama. Because he was being bullied for being gay. A beautiful, beautiful boy that had so much life that he could live, and he will never have the opportunity to. And I'm so sorry, I'm getting, like, emotional behind it, because I sit back and think about 14-year-old me and not being comfortable in my skin, and some of the bullying. I didn't even know what gay meant during those time periods or what all of that was, but I think about all of the discomfort that I had in myself and not knowing what it exactly was, and kids are really, really, really good at pointing out other. And I didn't necessarily get bullied so much as I got, like, called out on my other very often, and how weird that just made me feel at various times. And I never once thought about killing myself. I've never had those feelings. But I do know that they exist in people in a very, very real way. And this poor boy did not want to live his life anymore because of his sexual orientation. And there are groups of people out there that want to ignore those realities.
Mm.
And it hurts. It's really, really painful. I spent days arguing with people that were trying to tell me that you guys can get married, and even though I don't necessarily agree with it, like, what more do you fucking want? And I'm like, you think that just because we can get married that there are not people out there that want to kill us? That there are not groups of people out there that don't want to hire us or let us live in their homes or apartment buildings or anything of the sort, or not wanting to bake our fucking wedding cakes because of who we are? Like, that doesn't, just because we can get married doesn't mean that
the issue is
things
civil,
are fine.
The issue is civil rights, not civil right. It's not singular.
Exactly.
And that's really just strange thinking.
It's a huge problem. I just wanted to take a quick moment to let the family of Nigel Shelby know that our hearts are with them. I cannot imagine the pain that you all are going through behind this. And I am so sorry that this is happening, or that this happened. And you really did have a beautiful boy. I don't know Nigel personally. Unfortunately, we won't get the opportunity. But I can't imagine. He's just a baby. He's a kid. Mm-hmm. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, 14 years old. He had so much life ahead of him. And they are innocent. And they are just trying to figure out life. And unfortunately, life got the best of them, and that's just not fair. So my heart and prayers go out to the family of Nigel Shelby, on our behalf, because this is terrible. But you know, this is not the only case.
Not even close.
I mean, I just, what was it, in 2018 or 2017? Heard, I think it was literally last year, there was a kid in Colorado, age 7, if I remember correctly, that killed himself because he was being bullied in school for being gay. And that's not it. And so I'm angry. I'm angry because I just feel like it's not fair, and that people are not understanding. And this person that interviewed with Candace Owens, just, I immediately had to unfollow him, because I just cannot support that. And it has nothing to do with political affiliation. One of my closest friends is a Republican. There are family members that we have that are Republicans, yeah, and Trump supporters, et cetera, et cetera. And it has nothing to do with your political affiliation. I can be friends and share a conversation with any and everybody that knows the facts about their affiliation with anything and stands true with it in it. And you know, there's no pushing or waving it in any other direction. More power to you. An intellectual conversation is something that I am always prepared to have with opposing views. My issue is the incorrect statistics or fact, the gall to say that, one, you had to come out as a conservative. Fuck that noise. You don't have to come out as a conservative. That is not a thing. And two, to try to equate your struggle, quote unquote, with that of the gay struggle is just moronic and dangerous and just not okay. I'm livid behind that entire situation. So I think I did a good job, though. I kept my voice nice and even. But I did want to bring up a statistic from the Trevor Project, .org. There, it's literally the very last statistic if you go on their website, but it literally says each episode of LGBT victimization, such as physical or verbal harassment or abuse, increases the likelihood of self-harming behavior by 2.5 times on average. That is insane. Every time a bigot harasses or physically abuses a person in the LGBTQIA community, they're 2.5 times more likely to kill themselves.
You know what I've always found interesting about the conservative stance is you are pro-life, but you are also pro-war. You are pro-life, but you don't mind that the second leading cause of death in youth is suicide, and that these behaviors of bullying and bigotry have been directly tied to that. That's the part I take issue with. You can feel differently from me, but you clearly have a conflicting value here, and you're choosing to ignore it, mm-hmm. which, like, that's not a sound argument. Like, I can take, like, I have so much respect for people who are straight shooters, especially when what they're saying is not popular. I believe that. Even when I disagree with them, I think it's how social change happens. So you can say, you know what, I hate faggots. And I will respect you a lot more than if you say, oh no, you know, I'm pro-life and I care about everybody, but how many rights do you really want? Like, no, or, those things are at odds.
Or the thing that I get really angry about is when everyone says, when that same person will say things like, I like you, but I really don't accept your lifestyle.
Right.
And it, like, I feel like that is a lot more of a junk punch than anything, where it's like, I'm only accepting you, like, for public purposes, like, because I don't want people to think that I'm a bigot, but realistically, I go home and I bigot all day. Like, it's like a backhanded compliment, kind of. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, it's just not okay. Or that same person that's, like, pro-life, but not paying attention to that the fact that the whole point of a gun is to end the life of something.
Mm-hmm.
Guns literally have no other purpose, but you're pro-life.
Right.
But you're okay with guns being around, which is a whole other conversation and a completely different episode, but I just wanted to point that out.
You know, I just found it so interesting. There's got to be some point on the continuum where an unborn infant, hits where they're suddenly okay with being killed because life is innocent to them until some point. I wonder when that point is, and I imagine it's when you start to disagree with me.
Yeah, I don't know. So I just wanted to bring that up a little bit and just talk a teeny bit about, you know, some statistics on the trevorproject.org regarding suicide. And LGBT youth. I'm not going to go through all of them. We'll definitely put the link up. One of the most important ones was the one that I just mentioned not too long ago. There's another statistic where it says 1 out of 6 students nationwide, grades 9 through 12, seriously considered suicide in the past year. I think that that was, like, super interesting. And then suicide attempts by LGBT youth and questioning youth are 4 to 6 times more likely to result in injury, poisoning, or overdose that requires treatment from a doctor or nurse compared to their straight peers. Which means that, you know, LGBT youth are really trying to kill themselves and end up, like, not being able to complete it.
Yeah, for people who aren't familiar with that sort of standard, there's suicidal gesture, there's suicide attempt, and in some states, medical intervention is sort of a tipping point. And so the fact that they are 4 to 6 times more likely to need some form of medical intervention is, you know, it's important to note.
Yeah. So, and then another fact, LGB youth who come from highly rejecting families are 8.4 times as likely to have attempted suicide as LGB peers who reported no or low levels of family rejection. Yeah. That is in insane. It is absolutely insane. So, you know, your self-righteousness is killing your kids, your LGBT kids. And it's just not okay.
Well, and you know, even if you don't care for our community, think about your child. Even if your child is straight, your child now knows someone who completed suicide.
That's going to affect them.
It's going to affect them. So it does affect you and your family.
Yeah.
You know, your child is traumatized. They may not feel the same way as you, and they may have been friends with that person.
Yeah.
Or they may not have known that person, but they see the devastation that it wreaks.
Yeah. Like, or they could have been the bully. And, like, just imagine, unless they're a complete psychopath, like, just imagine knowing that you said something mean to that kid at one point in time, and then they killed themselves. How is that going to affect your mental well-being? Mm-hmm. How is that going to affect you later on in life? Oh my God. Because words have power. Words have power. You have to remember that. So it's crazy. So in addition to that, there was an interesting article that we read regarding LGBTQIA homicides. Because despite what some people would make you believe, violence against LGBTQ people is on the rise, especially under this particular administration.
Well, especially in the last roughly year and a half.
Sure.
It's greater than it's been in the last 20 years.
It's insane. And so we read a very interesting article on them.com. And it was saying anti-LGBTQ plus hate crimes are on the rise and our government is to blame. Granted, this article was written in 2015, so it is a teeny bit dated.
2015 or 2018?
I'm sorry, 2018. I don't know why I said 2015, yeah. But 2018. So it was written last year. Again, it's a teeny bit dated, but at the same time, it's not untrue.
Well, and you know, the time it takes, the data from 2018 probably isn't in yet.
Yeah, it's true. But anyways, this article was written by Beverly Tillery, and she essentially just goes through some really interesting facts regarding information about homicides. Apparently in 2017 there were 52 victims, so that's at least one a week, that were killed because of their LGBTQ status. So that's literally one victim per week. These victims were transgender women, queer, bi, or gay cisgender men, and an overwhelming number of people of color. I don't know if anybody knows that, but people of color that identify as LGBTQ are more likely to be killed than any other group of people in the entire world, which is even worse. And there's at least 129 anti-LGBTQ plus bills that were introduced in numerous states in 2017 across the country. And just recently, I think there was a hearing at the Supreme Court regarding whether or not it should be legal for businesses to fire LGBTQ employees based off of their sexual orientation. And to your point, because Tony and I had a conversation about it, it's not that it was a brand new bill so much as it was the Supreme Court trying to put into effect the fact that, like, there wasn't any legislature that, like, gave you the...
Yeah, to clarify, protected classes, Americans with Disabilities Act, different civil rights acts, you know, different laws, housing laws, you know, sexual orientation is not federally universally protected.
Right.
And so it's likely, and I don't know, I won't even say it's likely, but it is totally possible that the person who brought this before the Supreme Court in the first place was doing so to create precedent.
Sure.
To allow for that to become part.
Sure.
It's possible. I'm not saying that's what's happening. I'm just saying it's possible.
Yeah, and I think what I had shared with you, the part that is really mind-blowing to me is that there are a group of people that would argue against it. Mm-hmm. That there's still groups of people out there that believe that, you know, us as a gay married couple, they should be able to deny us the opportunity to rent an apartment from them or have a cake baked by them for our wedding and things. And I keep bringing that up because, my God, what in the hell are we doing? There's another fact that I was reading in here that there is like a group, the Crisis of Hate report reveals disturbing details on the extent to which anti-queer violence has plagued certain corners of the LGBT community. There was also another bit of information that was saying that there's a group that is together that allows medical professionals the opportunity to deny health care to LGBTQ people based off of their religious beliefs. Allows them the opportunity to say that, like, I don't believe in your lifestyle and my Bible supports that. So because of that, like, whatever is ailing you or anything of that sort, like, I medically do not have to take care of you. And it's protected. And it's protected. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that are happening out there that we need to be aware of and just know. You know, hatred is real and hatred is also taught. So you bastards that are out here teaching these to your children, like, fuck you to every corner of the earth, because it's just not okay. Again, hate is taught. People, we do not come out of the womb knowing to hate people. That it's literally taught. So do better. And I say all of that to say that, you know, for any youth that are listening to this episode, it gets better.
It does.
It gets better. You know, Tony and I have, you know, as you guys have probably all heard, and I'm sure there's a drinking game at this point about, you know, every time I mention the fact that we've been together for almost 10 years. but the reality of it is that we've been together for almost 10 years. And I've literally found the man of my dreams. I am thankful every single day that whatever God exists for, whoever is listening to this, allowed us the opportunity to find one another and spend the rest of our lives together. It does get better. And if that is your goals, know that you can achieve it as well. You will not feel alone forever. You just gotta get through it in some capacity, whether that means you're being homeschooled because you know that it's not safe for you to be, go to school every single day, whether, you move to a city that is a little bit more progressive and gives you the opportunity to be who you are, in a more safe way, seek it. But do know that it will get better. You will find friends that love you and your sexual orientation is not a thing that they care about. Your family will either come around or they won't, but you will create your gay family, your tribe that will literally treat you like a brother or a sister or anything in between, dependent upon how you identify, from a binary standpoint. You do not have, it will get better. You do not have to endure this forever. You don't have to do it. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and the tunnel may be long and it may be dark and dank, but it will essentially get better. I promise you. I never in a million years thought that I was going to have this relationship as a gay man. I never even wanted to get married because I was just like, well, if I'm going to be gay, there's clearly no way that me getting married is going to be an option. And besides, like, what man is going to want to marry me? Like, there's just no reason why, you know, that should end up happening. But it did. And I've never in my entire life been more happy with where I'm at with my life and how far I come. You know, Tony and I were just speaking about how, you know, sometimes you reflect and you look at your past and you get to the other side and you think about it and you're like, holy fuck, we accomplished this. Like, look at this. How amazing is this? And you will eventually get there. You will eventually get there. There will be tons of trauma and a lot of it will affect you forever. And just know that. Seek therapy. And just try to live your life as authentically as you possibly can.
And I would say I would just echo that as a person who spent a great deal of his formative years in the deep South and also engaged in self-injurious behavior, I can tell you that it does get better. It absolutely does. And that no matter where you are, even if you don't have a network, there are amazing resources out there for you locally, regionally, and nationally. The Trevor Project is one, and they are fantastic, but there are others. You know, any suicide support line will be able to help you, but the Trevor Project is specifically centered around this issue and our listeners. So I would, there's all kinds of, but the Trevor Project is national, it's toll-free, it's 24 hours, and it's specifically for LGBT. Know that there are people out there you can talk to. Yeah. You have other options, and I would just urge you not to create a permanent solution to a temporary situation.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much for listening. I know this again wasn't as vibrant a conversation, and I know it's heavy, and you damn bitches done made me cry a little bit. We felt it was very important to have this conversation just a little bit. Because again, you know, fingers crossed there are gay youth out there listening to us ramble every single week. And hopefully we can give them the strength that they need to continue and feel better and stand true in who they are. We will definitely put the links to a bunch of different resources in the show notes. So if anybody needs them, they are more than welcome to access them. And we really love you all. And thank you guys so much for the support that you give us. And thank you for being you and being the best at it. We're going to take a short break, but we will be back in just a bit.
Hello, listeners.
We are here to present a fun opportunity to you.
Do you know of a queer couple that you want us to feature on the show?
If so, send an email to relationshipquestions@gmail.com
or tag us on social media at @podrelationship.
Tony and I may feature this couple on one of our episodes.
We want to thank you for joining us each week and for helping to make this podcast the success that it is.
We are going to get back to the show, but we look forward to connecting with each and every one of you.
And we look forward to highlighting more of these queer relationships that you love.
Enjoy the rest of the show.
Bye.
I am so excited. Again, the power of social media, right?
The internets.
I know. It's so fun. We're so excited. We are sitting down and getting the opportunity to chit-chat with the gay tripper himself, Ryan Walker. Thank you so much for being here.
Honored to be a friend of the pod.
Thank you so much. We snagged Ryan because he was here in New York for a convention. And the power of social media, I just like hopped into his DMs and said, hey, is there any way that we could get you to be on the podcast at any point? And he was like, I'm in New York this week. Would you be willing to connect this week? And I was like, absolutely, let's make it happen.
Yeah, that was, it was timing from the gods, I would say, on that one.
For sure,
very
for sure.
Serendipitous.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. Sorry we don't have wine. It's a little too early to make that happen.
I've had so much wine. It's not necessary.
We should have done mimosas.
So has Marco.
Yeah, we should have done mimosas instead.
So much champagne every time you walk in the door. I'm not complaining, but that's what these conventions are like. It's just champagne at every corner.
I feel like we should be there right now.
Oh, gosh, yes, we really should have.
Yeah, champagne sounds brilliant.
Yeah, these microphones would be drenched, no doubt.
I like it. It's worth it, if you ask me. Well, awesome. Well, let's start from the very, very beginning. Let's hear your origin story. Mm-hmm. Where are you from originally?
Well, I grew up in the Midwest pretty much all my life. So Iowa, not Idaho or Ohio, but Iowa. And so I spent all of my, you know, K through 12, as you might say, growing up in a town of Dubuque, Iowa, which is right on the river.
I've heard of it.
Familiar with it?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Named after the now dead French fur trapper Julien Dubuque. Mm. That's from like the 1800s.
Long dead.
Yeah, he's dead. He's long dead. I think we had some lead mines there, and we all know that. Great reputation. Lead has the best reputation.
Absolutely.
And so it's right on the Mississippi River. It is right in the tri-state area, right where Illinois, Wisconsin, and Iowa meet. So there's a bridge in the downtown Dubuque area that goes to both of those states.
Oh, wow. Cool. That's kind of fun.
I know during the Cold War, there were nuclear missiles pointed at both of those bridges because they could carry tanks. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I heard, I think. But yeah, they're both like load-bearing. So I think we would have been well destroyed if there was a nuclear apocalypse. But I don't know. I suppose we all would have been screwed.
I like this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a wealth of knowledge. I've learned so much about Dubuque.
I know, right?
In like 3 minutes. That's so cool.
It's Dubuque.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes pronounced Dubuque or Dubuque or Dubuque.
I like Dubuque. That is a good one.
It's hard when you're on the phone with like a sales rep or a marketing or a telemarketer or whatever it is. And they're like you're from Dubuque, you know, so people have trouble with it. It's French.
Dubuque sounds good.
Yeah, I respond to just about anything.
That's awesome. So, so born and raised in Dubuque,
mm-hmm.
and you're not currently living there though. You're living.
No, that was all the up until high school years.
Gotcha.
Yeah, among the corn. I did not live on a farm. Common misconception. I think I know two farmers in like. In my entire like growing up time period, I know two families that farmed. So most people do not farm. And Dubuque is one of the larger cities. Every 4 years, you get all of the presidential candidates coming to Dubuque. And so I think that's helped. You know, I got into advertising and I've done all this, and I think it's helped me kind of hone my sense of BS. Can I curse on this podcast?
Yeah,
it's helped my sense of bullshit. That's one of the things is that you get a lot of outside influence every 4 years. Like occasionally Dubuque gets, I think it's been mentioned just on like Stephen Colbert and like Jon Stewart and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, just as this like off like little Dubuque reference for some reason. It's like this every 4 years you'll hear somebody will be having a rally in Dubuque and it'll be broadcast live on CNN or whatever. It's a very interesting kind of influx of like candidates coming in every 4 years.
It was in Michelle Obama's book. She was talking about Barack having to campaign in Dubuque.
Mm-hmm.
That was a part of the story.
I remember that because I had a friend from high school who had like a picture with Barack Obama because he was going door to door in like the neighborhood that I used to like where my friends lived. So
oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very much at like the focal point because Iowa is the first state for caucuses,
mm-hmm.
is the first primary,
mm-hmm.
and so they are there for 2 years before any like thing happens.
Yeah,
and they will talk to you. They go to all 99 counties. They want to talk, you know. And so, yeah, that's just one of the interesting parts about growing up there.
That sounds fun.
Not that it was, you know, the overwhelming experience, but K through 12, good place to raise a family, and it was a good upbringing for me.
Yeah. Were you out while living in Dubuque, or did that happen a little bit later in life?
I really didn't realize my identity until my senior year of high school.
Okay.
At which point I was watching an episode of Seinfeld and it just kind of hit me. Not that I even really like Seinfeld. It's just what was happening, if I remember correctly.
So Seinfeld made you gay.
I think so.
Was it Kramer, George, Seinfeld? Which one really got you?
It's really hard to know. I mean, they're all just like sex icons.
Yeah, I mean, totally. Totally. Yeah. Like total dreamboats.
Yeah. And so I wouldn't want to insult any one of them by picking one.
Very diplomatic of you.
We'll just go with George. yeah. And so, yeah, that was kind of my, and then, you know, you go through the year or 2 years of, you know,
denial.
Oh gosh. Yeah. You know, it's funny. There was no denying it it hit me like, I mean, yes, there was definitely denying it. There was definitely praying the gay away. But it really just, it hit me in this way that I describe as like a train. And there's no, you can't realistically deny that it was just this deep-seated knowledge. I meet people who sometimes have these experiences. Maybe you've met people who just like, you could just basically snap your finger and then they suddenly realize. I don't know, because a lot of people also say, oh, I've known forever. That wasn't the case with me. And I don't know how you've met people, what that ratio has been like.
Yeah, from my personal experience, it was like, I think this may be a, you know what it was? It was my first kiss with a guy that I was like, oh yeah, like for sure. But like up until that point, there was like a huge denial where it was like, there's just no way that this is realistic. And then again, I had that kiss with the first guy that I had a kiss and I was like, oh yeah, so this is what like seeing means. Like it's kind of like that experience from that episode of Grey's Anatomy where she talks about like putting glasses on for the first time and like seeing the colors on the leaves and all that and like actually understanding it. That's what it was for me. What about you?
No, mine was much more gradual and mine's still pretty blended. You know, so it was more of a blurring of lines for me. So it wasn't a sudden thing, you know, it was just part of exploring who I was overall.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So then you came out later.
Yeah. So it was really, cause I still had a girlfriend at the time as you know, classic.
Sure. Everyone has to dip their toes into heterosexuality.
Yeah. Everybody's bisexual.
Yeah.
Now there are bisexual people, but like, yeah, I feel like a lot of gay people, when they first start thinking that they're not straight, they think they're bisexual.
Sure.
Both of those people exist, but that's kind of not been the case for me. And so, yeah, it was really only until maybe my freshman year of college that things started to like come into focus a little bit more. To continue your analogy, or Grey's Anatomy's analogy,
yeah, right.
And that's when things got a little bit more real, and it was maybe like junior year of college that I actually started to be a little bit more like in touch with things. So yeah, you know, it was a 3 or 4 year time period, which is better than the 30 or 40 year time period that, you know, some people have to go through. So
for sure.
Yeah, it was definitely just those slowly testing things out and like, you know, crying and therapy and all that kind of stuff, because I was actually like super conservative when I was in high school, and even probably a little bit into college. And I, as soon as I had that Seinfeld moment, I was just like, "Whoa!" Everything I believe, I just had my identity. I just had an identity crisis.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so I've pretty radically like transformed in that respect. And so it was really shifting from one end to the other, just in terms of my entire identity at that point. And so by the time I was in the end phases of college, I was pretty well into that, you know, accepting phase, but I feel like I'm still in it. You know, there's still wrinkles in accepting your identity, despite having an Instagram account that is literally about my identity. That is not the like checkpoint to say like, yep, I fully accepted my identity and I'm totally great with everything about myself.
Yeah.
Now, that would be great, but that's not where I'm at.
I don't think, you know, it's so funny, you know, I'm married to an entire man, like, you know, and I feel like I'm pretty comfortable with who I am as a human being, and I know who I am as a person, but there are still moments in which I have to, like, really assess my comfortability with my sexuality and what that means to other people. And so I don't feel like it's fully formed or fully realized. You know, there are times when, like, for example, with my 9-to-5 job, like, I'll talk to customers and I will want to say, you know, my husband, and then I have to, like, sit back and assess whether or not bringing up my husband is smart in that moment.
You're always coming out to people.
Yep. Consistently. Yeah,
always.
And it takes a lot. And it's not because I'm not comfortable and I don't love my husband, but it's like, at certain points in time, like, to your point, I have to, like, sit back and wonder whether or not who I am as a person is comforting in that situation. And the answer is not always. Mm-hmm. and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. So what are your thoughts about this younger generation of gays, this gaggle of gays that are, you know, like
coming out
seven years old, mm-hmm. 8, 9, 10, and just know who they are right away? Like, what do you think about that?
I think it's fantastic.
Do you want to punch them in the face like I do? I want to punch them in like the cutest way possible. Mm-hmm. Like,
how do you cutely punch someone in the face?
If you have, like, sparkle gloves on while doing it, you know, only because I'm like, my God,
You're jealous.
I'm so jealous.
You're jealous.
Yeah. And I love it. And I just love that, like, that knowledge of who they are, you know, right away. What do you think about it?
No, you know, and you know, you go to the L's and the G's and the B's and you're like, it's great. And I think even most of the mainstream is, like, pretty cool with, like, kids knowing that they're gay. Mm-hmm. Because now that you've known enough gay people and enough gay people tell you that they've known forever, then you're like, okay, I guess kids would, you know, have an identity and would understand that. People get really, like, entrenched when it comes to trans issues, and kids being trans. And I know, like, trans kids. I know probably a trans kid, and, like, kids know who they are. And, you know, one thing that somebody told me was that kids feel just as deeply as adults do.
Tony says it all the time.
Yeah,
it's true.
We think that just because they're in these, like, teeny tiny bodies that they don't have not the knowledge that we as adults have, but that's false. It's very false. Like, I think they're a lot more in tune than we as adults are.
You come out and all the parts work. I mean, that's just the truth. The physical body, the emotional body, it all works. The only thing that changes is the frontal lobe, and that's just, like, getting more executive functioning. Like, it's sure. not about feeling. It's not about identity. It's about, like, consequences and organizing things. So it's not, like, it's just silly of us to think that they don't, you know. Anyway, but to society's, you know, credit, I mean, it is a new issue. It is something that's, you know, new to being talked about.
Sure.
And new to being experienced. So not wanting to jump the gun, I understand, but to deny someone their experience, I think, is, you know,
yeah,
a little dangerous.
We have what would you call Asher? He's like a nephew by proxy kind of situation. But he is in eighth grade right now, and if I remember correctly, he has a trans friend, and, like, at 13, he has, like, a trans friend, and I just think that is so amazing.
The strength that must take, like, as a child.
It's crazy.
It's incredible.
It's absolutely insane. And I just love it. I just think that it's great. And, you know, we've said it 100 times before, the most well-adjusted child I've ever met in my entire life. So, like, he has lesbian aunts and uncles, you know, and he has, you know, Tony and I, who are, like, his gunkles and things like that. Like, and it's just really cool. But he knows and understands, and he just thinks, he's like, whatever. Like, Tony and I are just Marco and Tony. Like, we're not the gay guys or anything of that sort. We're just Marco and Tony. Like, but that's it.
Yeah,
and it's kind of cool. So you are in a relationship.
Yes. Rafi's my boyfriend.
Hi, Ralphie.
Hi, Rafi. I'm sure he'll be an eager listener.
I love it.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been together?
We have known each other for 6 months.
Wow.
And I can tell you that we have moved in together, and we're moving to California together.
How lesbian of you.
Oh, I know. I know. And we live right next to a Homo Depot as well.
Oh.
I mean, all you guys have to do is say you're driving a Subaru. And
basically. I wish.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
That's great. So 6 months together, mm-hmm. madly, truly, deeply in love.
That puts a lot of pressure on it, don't you?
I mean, you're moving to California. You gotta be at least one, if not all three of them.
We're in it, man. That's all I can say. Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. How did you guys meet?
Yeah. He slid into my DMs.
Okay.
And he tells me that I put a winky face on his photo. I prefer to deny this, even though I know it's true. And so apparently I was the one that started the courting of that.
Nice.
In that I commented on one of his photos. And I was in San Francisco at a point. And I had just gotten done at the Folsom Street Fair, if you've ever been there.
Did you wear like the leather harness? And all
no, that I was just a pedestrian, believe it or not.
Yeah, because our listeners can't see you, but you're wearing a leather harness. Right
well,
now.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's why they call it the theater of the mind.
Okay, so he slid into your DMs while you were in Folsom.
Yes, there was winking. I think there was winking back and forth, and he slid into my DMs. And
this was on Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because at the time I was doing the Gay Tripper by that time.
Gotcha.
And so, we had gotten hooked into each other somehow, just Kansas City LGBT community, you know, being the size that it is. And so that was kind of how things happened. We went on a first date at a dive bar called The Brick. In the crossroads of Kansas City.
Sounds about accurate.
Yep. And that's kind of just how it happened. And that's been it since, really.
I love it. And how has living together been?
Yes, living together. So it's been like, it's been a whole like series of like it's been a lot of like practicalities, okay. You know, mm-hmm. like that. He lives up here and I live down there and we're going to be living together anyway when we move. So we might as well live together now. Like, it was not easy. Like, we talked to couples who have been together for 5 years and they're like, we're thinking about moving in together. And we're like, oh shit. Like,
we're doing it.
Really let's see. It's been about 4 months, yeah. You know?
And I mean, so, Tony and I always talk about it, like moving in for us, and we did it after a year, mm-hmm. and moving in for us was an obstacle.
It was difficult.
It was really it was challenging for me. I had never lived with a partner at any point in time in my entire life. So much so that when we did move in together with one another, I left for a week and a half. I like he moved in and I was like, I gotta get out of here. So I like left for a week. I just needed mm-hmm. a break from it all. So it was a thing.
Yeah, you're a nut job. Did you two already move in together?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was it?
It's, you know, there was, I told him, I was actually the first one to say, well, we should just move in together. Mm-hmm. You know, ever since I was a kid, I had this problem of rushing. Mm. If you looked at like tests, they would always tell me slow down. Mm. And so my problem was always rushing. And so I said, let's move in together because mentally, logically, it all just makes sense. Mm. And so he had so much as maybe brought his, you know, Taylor's dog bed over, and I just started flipping shit because I was just like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. Like this, because I've lived by myself basically. Mm-hmm. Like, the last time I had roommates was junior year of college. And for the 5 or 6 years after that, I lived by myself.
Mm, gotcha.
And so I started to get cold feet about it. And I told him, like, I don't know if I can do this. That was our first big fight. Because he had already accepted this reality of what was happening, and I was suddenly like freaked out by it. And so I think we probably took another month and then we moved in.
Okay.
How did you get through that?
Well, we just looked at the realities of it, I think. By that point, we had talked about wanting to move. I actually, before this, had been intending to move to Berlin, Germany, because I was just ready for, like, just to do something crazy.
Sure. And get out of this country.
And to get out of the country. Right. I think I was having a particular moment of weakness with the country and was just like, I need to get out of here and get some health care. and so I was looking at moving to Berlin, and side note, I found out the gay tripper. Tripper in German means gonorrhea.
Oh.
So, the gay gonorrhea. so it's probably a good thing that actually that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And so, I was ready to move, and I was like, I need to leave Kansas City because I need to do something different. I've been in the Midwest all my life. He was also at the point in time where he was like, you know, he was ready to maybe try new things, but I was really the impetus to like be like, let's go, let's do it. Like he talked about being a traveling physical therapist in 2 years or 3 years or whatever it may be. And I was more like, I gotta go. Because at that point I decided, okay, I'm not going to Germany, but I can't stay here.
Okay.
So you rushed him to California.
I think I may have done a little bit of rushing to get to California, which is happening in 2 weeks.
Where? Wow. Oh, yeah. My God. 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Where in California?
It's going to be Monterey.
Okay. Oh, my God. I love Monterey.
Yeah.
So
we hear it's beautiful. We've never been there.
Gorgeous. And so you're just up and packing.
That's how I do it.
The college that I wanted to go. See, you sound so much like me. College that I wanted to go to was in Monterey, and I loved it. So, oh, my God. That's so exciting. Monterey's gorgeous. You're really going to. I love. You literally sound like me. I'm like an, we'll figure it out kind of person. Like, and Tony is very, like, methodical and needs to plan, and everything needs to be, like, sussed out. When's your birthday? What's your sign?
April 20th.
Oh, so you are Taurus.
I'm right on the split.
Gotcha.
Aries and Taurus.
Gotcha. Mm. Okay. Yeah. Very nice. Oh, happy belated birthday.
Thank you.
Yes. Very nice. You're charging bull you.
Very nice. Okay, so you guys... All right, so that's kind of... So you guys just... It was kind of... It just made sense.
It was just practicalities, you know?
Yeah, I like him.
It's much better now. And he'll tell you, I lived in a, like... Let me just say that most of my furniture is made out of cinder blocks. And so, because it's, I wanted to find basically the lightest building material I could at Home Depot because I wanted to live this mobile lifestyle, which is silly. But I think it's because like cinder blocks, I can just throw those in the dumpster when I'm done. 2 years later, I still have cinder blocks, you know, but now the only cinder blocks I have are the basically like the bed frame is what the bed's sitting on. And that's like, you know, that's modern and chic, maybe.
Sure.
But I'm not afraid to say he brought in a lot more style. He picked out this shirt, picked out these shoes.
There you go.
Picked out every outfit I was going to wear on this trip. Like, it's really nice when I get up in the morning and I take a shower and I go to the bedroom to get like dressed and my clothes are already laid out for the day. Because I'm not saying I'm like Steve Jobs and I need to wear a turtleneck like for everything and I just don't want to decide what to wear. I just don't like, it's too much. Like, I like design. I like photography, composition. But when it comes to like personal grooming and I don't smell, I don't think, but like when it comes to like personal fashion, I don't know the first thing about fashion.
And now you sound like me.
Yeah. And he knows about that. He knows where to get the right clothes. He knows where to get the best shirts. And it's just like perfect.
It helps.
We do have a point of contention though on Vans, the shoes.
Uh-huh.
I think they're great shoes.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks they're not cute.
Vans have a place in time. Like, yeah. Tony,
Marco's bane is Skechers.
Well...
I like Skechers.
Yeah, Skechers are disgusting.
Yeah, I have to agree with him on
Skechers.
Yeah,
Skechers are disgusting.
Like a normal chunky boot.
Oh my God.
Are they white?
No.
All white?
No, just your standard army issue black boot. Like,
yeah, no.
Basic.
No Skechers.
But Skechers, like, they're comfy. They're squishy on the inside.
No.
Are they the shape-ups?
No.
Let's hope not.
Yeah,
no, Skechers are a no-go. Vans have a place. Like, you know, my sister's going to hear this. She bought me a pair of Vans, and I wore them for a period of time. They were just a teeny bit too big, and Tony's foot is a little bit wider than mine, so I ended up giving them to him. They're still in my home, and Tony wears them,
mm-hmm.
And they're great. They're great Vans.
Sturdy. They're sturdy shoes.
They're
like,
very
they
nice.
And they're the cinder block of shoes.
And yeah.
They, yeah.
Yeah.
And they act like they,
all
again,
the style.
Yeah, they have a place in time. They're cute Vans, too. Like, they're gray, and then they have, like, a rubber sole that's, mm-hmm. like, gummy, and it's great.
The
like,
Ultra Cush MX, you mean?
Yes. Yeah. They're great, but he doesn't like Vans, though, huh?
Well, I don't think he's okay with them. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I buy, like, and part of it is that I live in this, like, mindset of utilitarianism.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need shoes. I don't want the H&M $20 shoes that are going to fall apart when I'm you know, halfway between Berlin and Paris. I need shoes that are going to stay together and are going to, like, be comfortable and are going to, like, hold up.
So now you sound like me.
Yes. I need something that I can, like, count on that, like, isn't just, they don't just look good. I want them to look good. I don't want to look like a, you know, a creep. But, like, I need something that I know will work.
Yeah, I talk about this all the time because I tell Tony, I'm like, I would rather spend a little bit more money and get exactly what I know is going to last than to go super cheap and then have to keep replacing it because it gave out over a period of time.
And Vans have great value for that.
Sure.
You know, like a $70 shoe and it will last 2 years. Like, yeah. That's fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. I would spend about $100 on average on my shoes just to make sure, and especially in New York, where literally, like, we walk around so much, our shoes literally have a very short lifespan. So I would rather spend like $100 to $150 on a pair of shoes because I know that I'll get a longevity out of them, which makes a lot more sense. I like Vans. I think Vans are fine.
All right. It's good to know that I won that argument.
You hear that, Ralphie?
Yeah.
Vans are not that bad.
Thank you.
So that was your first relationship fight was the battle of moving in. How's everything else? Like what are your ebbs and flows?
You know, I think we both credit ourselves like with being under an enormous amount of pressure right now. I quit my job. He's quitting his job. We're moving. We moved in together. We have 3 pets. We're combined. He has, like, finance stuff that he needs to take care of. I don't have a steady income right now because I'm working freelance. Dimension, we're moving. like
that's a lot.
All the stresses.
So jobs, moving, new relationships, like, you basically money, every single stress factor that you could have, I think, is something that we're dealing with right now. And I won't, like, shy away from saying, like, we've had a few fights lately. And it's especially when he's dealing with a lot of this stuff at home, or maybe the dog just has diarrhea, and I'm here like looking like I'm having the time of my life, like getting free champagne at every, you know,
meeting Amanda Lepore.
Exactly. Yeah. That person. And so I think it's just kind of like, and I really wish he was here because I know he would be great for this, but he has responsibilities and I have responsibilities. And we're working to bring that together. And I think, like, really the base level thing is at the end of whatever argument it is, you have to respect each other. And I'm sure you guys could give us some advice on that. It's a young relationship, right? And so we're doing all of this within 6 months of knowing each other.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of just have to go through it. And what's really great is it sounds like you guys are communicating a lot and talking, which is great. So that's always the first thing to do. But you also have to, you know, Tony and I, sometimes we look at the battles that we've had and at the, like, we get to the other side of it and you have to go through war together. Like, you just have to go through it together with one another. You have to be in the frame of mind that, like, this is going to be our Vietnam. this is what it's going to be, and we're going to get on the other side and we're going to look at it and say, can you fucking believe that we made it through it? Like, holy shit, we did this. And that's crazy. You know, when we first moved to New York, talk about rough. So Tony and I had taken a temporary break in a relationship. I moved to Vegas for a little bit, for like 6 months, and then Tony stayed in Florida, and then I was moving to New York and Tony was joining me. He came to New York without a job. I had a job, and I was taking care of us for a period of time,
much longer than I would have liked.
Yeah. And then I ended up losing that job. And then we were both kind of but he had just received a job. So there was like a 2-week time period where we were both like not working.
I think it was only a few days.
Yeah. It was like a few.
Felt like 2 weeks.
Yeah. It felt like 2 weeks, but it was just rough for us. And then we had to find a new apartment. And that was rough. And, you know, and we went, and then now we, like, you know, 5 years later, we're, you know, still in the exact same apartment, like, we're in the second apartment, and life is good. And, like, and we laugh about it all the time, where we're like,
we do.
Can you believe the shit that we dealt with? you know, the jobs that we went through, the interviews that Tony went through that were just shit, and the stresses that we had on money. Tony was like, I need you to pay my student loans, and I hate asking you for money for the student loan. I'm like, but what, like, all of that was just shit.
Yeah, I couldn't wait to give you that $100 back.
and he never had to give it back to me, because, you know, what's his is mine, and what's mine is his at this point. But, you know, it's hard. You just have to go through it together. You just mm-hmm. have to, just have to consistently hold each other's hand and never let go.
Mm-hmm.
And just know that you're both going to deal with it together, and you'll get on the other side and you'll laugh about it.
And I think one thing is about making, if you're going to argue about something, it's making it productive. I do not like arguments that have no end goal in mind.
Sure.
I want to know that, like, we're arguing about something substantive, and that we're trying to do something about an issue. We're trying to resolve something, you know, and if you just got a vent or whatever, that's fine. But, like, for if you're having just argument after argument that's, like, unproductive, then you're only adding stress. And so, actually, I when I was overseas at one point, we had an argument. And it was an argument where he sent me flowers afterwards. So it was, that was, it, we'll call it productive. But out of that, I wrote this list of, like, I think I said 10 or 11 ideas for improvement. And I can read that list if you want.
Sure.
Of these different, these things that we could do in our relationship. Like, and I think it was actually kind of like rules for arguing and how we would do that. And so let's see here. I have 12 ideas for improvement is what it was called. I wrote this, like, I think 2 months ago.
Okay.
So I'll go through 1 through 12.
Good.
If we have the time.
Yeah.
So number one was, we will be each other's advocates and recognize that the opinions of other people are only their opinions. We go through, I mean, like, when you tell someone what we're doing, like, 5 months and here's all the things that we're doing, they're like, you're
everyone has an opinion.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And everybody has an opinion, but they don't know us. They don't know what we're doing. Like, I haven't heard of anybody doing what we're doing.
Right.
So how would they know?
It's like RuPaul says, if them bitches ain't paying your bills, pay them bitches no mind. Like, if they're not writing your checks, then they have no opinion. They can't determine what you're going to do or whether or not it's good or bad or anything like that. So.
And while I think there is, you know, some sound advice in caution, I think most people feel they need to share that opinion because they're jealous of your bravery.
For sure.
That, you know, you're holding up a mirror and they're not really liking what they see in the adventure department.
Sure.
What's next?
Yeah, I like this.
Number two was, we will strive to settle our disputes when both of us are sober and to avoid arguments when either of us are not.
Yeah, we have that rule.
Yeah. It's a good rule.
It's hard to follow sometimes. I know.
Well, because that's when all of the emotions come out.
I know,
right?
And everything is just heightened. Yeah. And yeah, when I said that, my therapist was like, yes, don't do it.
Good idea.
Number three is, we will discuss our disagreements using phrases like, when you do X, it makes me feel Y.
Mm-hmm.
And we will avoid absolute words like never and always. Good. And avoid starting any sentences with the word you.
Mm. We are working. That's something we're working on right now.
Mm-hmm. It is extremely good advice, though, for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a big one for me. And he'll tell you that.
That was more your challenge.
That was my challenge to him. And that's, I mean, that's because, like, I work in a career with writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he will tell me time and time again that, like, he's not as good with his words as I am with mine.
Same.
And so, like, and I have patience on that.
I'm also very hyperbolic. And Tony can be a little bit more dramatic, but I'm hyperbolic. So I'm very flourishy with my words. So I do use a lot of, like, never or always. And that ends up, and because Tony is also very literal. When I say, like, never, for him that translates into, like, it's never not once been done.
You know, the word never, its definition.
And yeah. I'm with you on that one.
And I don't mean it in that way, you know, but, and again, that's just me being hyperbolic.
God help you if you start a sentence with, you never do X. And I'm like, oh, really? Yeah.
The only thing I have going for me is Tony has a terrible memory, so he's never able to bring up arguments in the contrary.
Oh, never?
Never. Because he's like, well, I can't think of anything right now. And I'm like, I know. I was banking on that.
Yeah.
So that's good. Continue. I like
this list has not been edited very well. So there might I may have said 12 and there may only be like 10 or something.
Okay.
So we'll just when we get there.
Yeah.
Four is we will give each other the benefit of the doubt. And so this is about trying to tamp down on anxiety. So let's say, and this just happened, let's say like I'm going home and after being out like at a bar here in New York and I forget to say goodnight over text.
Mm.
Then he's like, oh my God, what happened? Is he in the Hudson River right now? And so I struggle with that too. I've struggled with that all of my life of assuming the worst case scenario.
I hear you.
And so giving someone the benefit of the doubt is like, if he didn't say goodnight, it's probably not because he doesn't love me. Right. Ooh. And so it's just trying to tamp down on runaway thoughts, you know?
I like that. Yeah. Cause I'm the one that's like, leave me alone for a little bit. Like, I'm fine. Like, I'll get in touch with you later. And then Tony's like, Mr. Like, you have to call me after you leave work. Like, I need to know that you're coming home. And I'm like, okay, fine. But I give him what he needs to, like, cool.
Well, we have good rules. You know, I don't freak out before 6:30, but at 6:30, I'm allowed to freak out. And so normally I will text or call him at 6:31 and say, so what's going on?
Well, no, usually you call me and say, it's past 6:30, so
I'm allowed to freak out. Yeah.
I like that rule.
Yeah. It's very helpful.
This one's a no-brainer. We will give each other time to speak during arguments.
Mm-hmm.
You got to let people finish their sentences. Like, I'm not saying sometimes you aren't going to interject, but, like, you got to give people the chance to say what they need to say.
Sure, sure.
Well, and, you know, heaven forbid you listen instead of just waiting for your turn.
Yes. Very true. Know? Active listening, right?
Yeah. Like, what? I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. No. this is one that we actually added recently, and it's number 6, that we will mirror each other's positive actions and lead by example.
Hmm.
This comes from another saying of, I'm not a mind reader.
Mm-hmm.
If you want something, I need you to tell me. I need you to show me. You know, it's kind of like he was upset at one point that I hadn't taken him out on a date. He hadn't taken me out on a date in a while either. So how was I supposed to, you know? And it's just like, I need you to show me how you want to be loved.
Hmm.
And I will do that. And sometimes you may need to repeat it 10 times. But like, I will get there if you give me the chance to do it.
That's kind of something we're working on right now. My issue is the 10 times. I hate having to do things multiple times. I don't enjoy it. So I'm learning patience. Patience is not my strong suit.
It is your lesson for the year.
Yeah. It's hard. It's really hard.
Number 7 is we will discuss feelings in a timely, orderly manner before they become explosive. You can't sit and ruminate on things and then just explode out the gate with, you know, it's just like if you're drunk, where everything is heightened because everything's been compressed into this little tiny ball of rage that explodes with the first pinprick.
Yep. This is something that we're trying to work on with Tony because he has a bad habit of just not saying anything.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden he's like talking about shit that happened like 3 months ago. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas me, I'm like, Mr. Like, you left the towel out this morning. I'm gonna let you know everything right away.
Yeah, it's big on like, yeah, one of my pet peeves is like, you can't like bludgeon me with something that happened like 3 months ago. Yeah. Especially if it's already been resolved.
Sure.
You gotta move on.
Sure.
And I'm not saying I'm not guilty of this too. He's just not here to rebut it.
How strategic.
He's listening right now.
Yeah.
I like it.
The number 8 is we will clearly communicate and follow expectations to the best of our abilities. This is another thing where like, I need you to tell me how you want something to be done.
Sure.
And then, so it's like, if you have, it's the mind reader thing. If you have something in your mind of the way that things need to be done, and then I don't do that, I didn't know what your expectation was.
Sure.
And so how am I going to be able to meet that expectation if I don't know what it is?
Yeah.
And that's just like falls under the big communication umbrella.
Yeah.
Number nine, and this is one of his big ones that he does not... We've actually never had a problem with this, but it's we will not curse at each other. We've never done that, but it's something he really cared about was like, oh, fuck you, you know, like, don't do that.
Oh, we've never done that?
You've done it once. Recently.
And he has bad memory.
Well, no, I mean, it's been a rule for a long time, and I think that stuff came to a head recently, and that's when it happened. But
rules are meant to be broken.
Yeah, it was a gross moment, and we repaired it. But yeah, no, that is kind of a constant rule.
It's true.
Typically,
the two last ones here. This is one that my therapist took issue with because I don't think she saw it as realistic. We will accept our differences with love, understanding, forgiveness, fairness, and patience. I don't know if you can accept differences with love all the time, is maybe the point
I
that she
had. I think it's
had.
A good goal, though.
Yeah. She looked at that one. She looked at that one the way that you're looking at, the way that Marco's looking at me right now is the way that she looked at me when I said that one.
I'm trying
one.
To process it. It's something that I am, working on because I have a lack of patience for a lot of things. I'm trying to put love at the forefront and like remind myself that I love him. And because X, Y, and Z is happening doesn't mean that the love that I have for him doesn't exist. So I can be patient based off of the love that I have for him. And that it is it's something that I'm working on. So I like the concept. The execution is what it can
be challenging.
Yeah.
But it's a good goal.
That's why these are the high number ones. These are the ones that you forget, like the Ten Commandments.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Because these are on equal stature. Is the last one. It's kind of a brother to the accept our differences or sister, or non-binary. Right. We will love our differences and see mistakes or arguments as opportunities for growth and improvement. And so that gets back to really what started this whole one is that we need to see differences and arguments as an opportunity for us to improve.
Sure.
Because I'm all about making things better. And I need to have some kind of goal in my mind about where something is going. Otherwise, you know, there's something about like having your sails. If you have sails and you're going somewhere, you still need a rudder. You know, there may be a lot of power behind something, but if you don't have any direction to it, then you're just going to be going around in circles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're ending up somewhere you don't want to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you guys have a good foundation for the relationship, though. It sounds like it, you know.
Built on cinder blocks.
Built on cinder blocks.
Full circle.
It sounds like you guys, you know, after 6 months, right? It sounds like you guys have a good direction and you have a lot of, a lot to look forward to. And I think that you'll be good.
I think you're going to be very successful.
I like Thank it. You. We have a few minutes left, but I would love to learn a little bit more about the Gay Tripper and what you're trying to accomplish with that and how it's been going for you.
Well, that's great. I mean, because that is, you know, that's how everybody knows me. All the listeners know me as this. It's world famous.
Yes.
And so the Gay Tripper, I mean, in its impetus is just that I love travel. I believe in the values of travel. I know that one of the things that I said is that anytime you go somewhere new, you have to start over. You don't have your routines. You don't usually have all your clothes. You don't have all of the things that make your normal life normal. You have to learn how to rebuild yourself in a new place, especially if that's a place where the culture is very different than the one that you're used to. And so you have to learn new norms, new social rules, new directions, how to get from X to place to Y. And that's why I think travel is one of these really formative things for any number of reasons. But I think at its base, it's because you have to redo yourself every single time. And eventually when you start traveling enough, you get really good at one, knowing who you are at your core, knowing your base emotions, but then also knowing how to adapt and change yourself on the fly. And the more that you're able to control your like growth trajectory, the more successful you're going to be and the more liable you're going to be to get where you want to be, to the person you want to be, and all of that.
I love that. Yeah. I mean, that's brilliant. So true. Yeah, I love it.
And so I view travel through that factor, but then I also view it through the lens of my identity. And so the tagline that I have for the Gay Tripper is that it's travel advice with an orientation.
Which is also brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? so clever. And so the idea there is that it's not just about gay travel, although my card will say gay travel advice. Hmm. It is about putting a worldview on travel, about putting the best worldview that I know, my own. And so some of those articles are going to be about gay bars or pride or whatever it may be, or sure. like having one of the, like how to be safe in like Mexico right. if you're gay.
Right.
But that's not what all of them are. I'm working on one that's like just weird museums because I love like weird museums. I love to like look at, for instance, the most recent one is the French stereotypes that exist in American culture. And so the most recent one I think is like 4 French stereotypes that are true and 5 that aren't. Hmm. And so I like to get into those cultural nitty gritty things, and like help people see a new perspective on travel, whether or not they're gay. And the one other thing that's really important, and I would say it comes more from an Instagram perspective, is that of all of the social media platforms, Instagram has the largest effect on people's mental health in a negative way. People on Instagram, more than Facebook, more than Twitter, are the most likely to feel the fear of missing out and the fear that their body is not what it's supposed to be.
Mm.
And if you do a search for hashtag gay travel, hashtag gay travels, it's going to be a lot of shirtless people.
Totally.
And oftentimes, they're not even in a place. They're in like a hotel room or they're in front of a wall. And it's mm-hmm. like, what does this have to do with travel? This is the opposite of travel, in my mind. This is like, you're not trying to expand somebody's worldview. You're trying to make them feel bad about themselves.
Yeah.
You're trying to make it feel like it's about you. And it's about how you are able to travel all over the place. And the one thing that I want to put into perspective for people about, you know, quote unquote influencers, is that they do not live the life that you think they live. My life, it looks like I'm traveling all the time. I'm not. I promise I'm not. Like, I would like to do that. I would like to be the person that I am on my Instagram. But I try to be very upfront about, like, that this is about the experience of travel, but also the experience between destinations. Because travel is as much a mindset as it is a willingness to go places. And so my goal with the Gay Tripper is to make travel feel relatable for people, is to make people feel like they wish they could go to some place, to feel like they should go to some place. And that is my biggest goal. I don't want anybody to go to my account and feel bad about themselves. I want to give people the opportunity and ideas for how to travel. And anything other than that, anything that's taking away from their willingness to travel, I think is just adding to the problem of what Instagram causes people and in society in terms of mental well-being.
I love that. We had Mr. Metro Venture on the podcast at one point in time, and his whole thing, because he wants to do a lot of travel, but even with him, it was about finding the beauty where you're at. So, like, going, you know, we're in New York City, like, a trip to Central Park and how you can make Central Park an adventure and have a good time in your neighborhood, in your own city,
right?
And how there's like all of these other elements of it. So I love that spin on it, and I think it's great. I think that you two should come with us to the Dominican Republic in October. Mm-hmm. We're planning a big trip in October, and I think it's going to be fun, and we have all of our friends coming. Oh. Which is going to be a good time.
Okay,
we'll talk about that offline.
I think, yes, it'll please
be fun. Yeah. It has been such a pleasure. Truly. Having you on this podcast, it's been so great. You're so brilliant, and I just love everything that you're doing.
Go on.
Good luck to you and Ralphie and the move and
Rafi.
Everything. Rafi. Yeah. Rafi. I'm so sorry.
Oh, gosh. I'm sure he's never getting that.
I know, right?
Before. Yeah.
I love it. Good luck to you guys in the move and everything. You have to keep us posted on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let our listeners know where they can find you on Instagram.
I am at the Gay Tripper on Instagram. And if you want to follow Rafi, because I know he wants the followers, he feels bad about me having all these followers and that he doesn't. It's Rafi, that's Rafi Cisneros. C-I-S-N-E-R-O-S. You can also go to my bio on my Instagram, and you can find a link to his profile.
I love it. You also have a blog.
Yes, the blog is thegaytripper.com.
Okay.
Can you believe it?
I know.
Yeah.
So original.
Good branding.
Yeah. Yeah. I like straight across the board.
Well, not really.
Yeah. Yeah. Easy to grasp.
I like it. Phrasing. Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much for coming by. It's been a pleasure. Enjoy the rest of New York.
I'm so glad our paths were able to cross.
Yeah, slid into us those too. DMs and it worked out.
Yeah, it always does.
Apparently for you, yeah. It's really good. Awesome. We are going to take a short break, but we'll be back in just a bit.
Hey, folks. It's your favorite hosts, Tony.
And Marco.
We need to ask a favor. Please stop what you're doing this very moment and head to your favorite podcast directory and rate and review Relationship.
We know. It's a big ask, but we need your help in getting the word out about the podcast, and your reviews are the best ways to make that happen.
So if you have 2 minutes, please go and give us a 5-star rating.
Then write a review and tell everyone about how much you love our voices.
Or how we're your favorite hosts.
Or that this really important conversation is helping you along the way.
Just a few ideas, you know, in case you get writer's block.
Anyways, we appreciate your help and thank you for the support. Your participation will only make Relationship better.
We're going to get back to the show now, but we love all of you.
Thanks.
So that's going to do it for this week's episode.
Thanks for tuning in and being a part of this really important conversation.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Pod Relationship. And don't forget to subscribe and rate us and tell everybody you see.
You can also email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com if you have any situations or comments that you would like us to address on the show.
And don't forget to check out our IGTV channel, Relationship, for a behind-the-scenes post-show conversation about this week's episode.
Tony and I will harass your ears next week.
And remember, you are beautiful, and I mean that shit.